The FLW Championship is just right around the corner, and with me today is Scott Martin. Scott, now, the last time you guys went to Birmingham, you got second place and were really, really close to winning it. You got to be excited about going back.
You know, I couldn't have picked the schedule any better. Finish up the last part of the year with Lake Champlain and then following it up with Logan Martin, where I came in second. You know, I'm extremely excited about it. You know, I came in second by 6 ounces 2 years ago, so I'm going to carry around a little diver's weight that's about 6 ounces in my pocket all week to kind of help me get a, you know, a little bit extra edge out there. But, you know, the fishing, I believe, is going to be real similar. You know, we're dealing with the same type conditions. It's basically the same time of year. The only difference this year is going to be that the water levels are a little bit lower.
Well, we talk, you know, about every time a championship comes around, and what a pro does, you've been there, you've had good success there, now you're going to go back and you're going to look at this body of water. How will you attack at this time?
You know, that's a good point. You know, anytime that you've had success at a particular lake, you want to go back and do the exact same things. And sometimes that works, and, you know, sometimes it backfires on you. So I'm going to spend the first few days of practice really concentrating on things that are totally opposite of how I caught them on in the tournament. I'm going to really concentrate on some offshore structure, some deep rock piles, try to find some stuff out there off the bank that the average guy might not find.
Well, the spotted bass down there was the key in that tournament. You know, Luke Clausen, of course, won that thing. You're talking about fishing for $500,000. If you find that sweet spot, you find that rock pile that's got them on that, you know, you've also got other things you can look at, the dock pattern, the grass that we've talked about. But with the water down and the high temperatures you've had, it may not pan out that well for the shallow bite.
You know, I think you're exactly right. I think the docks are going to be the dominant pattern. I think I would say just about everybody in the tournament is going to have a dock pattern going, whether they're fishing shallower docks or deeper docks. That's going to be the key. You know, I think, you know, there's docks all around that lake, and there's docks that are in 20 foot of water, and there's some docks that are in 3 and 4 foot of water. So the key is going to be able to find out what depth those good fish are hanging out on. There's a ton of fish in Logan Martin, but the little 12 inches and stuff aren't going to do you very good. You've got to have a 12 to 14 pound bag a day to really make it through the final rounds and stuff, because let's face it, we're dealing with 47 of the best fishermen in the world other than myself, and you know, I've got to be able to catch some fish. You know, you can't expect to go weigh in with just a few 12 inches and move on to the next round.
All right, I'm gonna have you dissect the dock for me. You know, you're looking at the dock, all these docks are different. You got metal docks, you got wooden docks, you got all these different things, floating docks. One of the things that I've seen where the success has panned out is when a pro really can dissect that dock and get into places maybe a bait hasn't been before. Is that kind of what you're looking to do?
That is. You know, every lake's different, and every day's a little bit different. There's some days, Terry, that the fish will like floating docks, and then there's some days they want to fish on the fixed docks. And what a fixed dock is a dock that actually has wooden legs on it that doesn't float on the water, and those are what we call fixed docks or built docks. There's usually a lot of brush under those docks, and it's hard to really get the fish out. You know, Luke won the tournament 2 years ago, and he was lucky. He landed a big fish, a 3 or 4 pounder that day, and it took him a long time to get him out from underneath that dock. It was all tangled up around poles and everything, and real hard to land. And if he would have lost that fish, of course, I would have won the tournament. So, but you know, the advent of some new technology now, Berkeley's actually got some new Berkeley Fireline Crystal, which is a braided line that's clear like monofilament. So I really think, and I hope this article didn't come out, or this interview didn't come out until after the championship, but I really think I'm going to be able to take that Berkeley Fireline, rig it up on my spinning rod, and throw finesse worms way under these docks, and exactly like you said, in places that nobody's been before, because that's how I'm going to win the tournament.
Well, you know, you look at this thing, and you've got 48 guys, as you mentioned, and when you think about that, these are 48 of the very best anglers in the world, and you're going to go down there, a lot of the guys are going to make the same pitches, are going to make the same things. How important is that line? How important is that special bait? You know, I know you're with Berkeley. Are they going to be able to come out with special baits just for you for this tournament, or are you going to take something out of a bag and go after it?
No, they have actually spent a lot of time and research over the last couple months developing their gulp line. They've got actually a shaky worm that's a 5-inch and a 7-inch shaky worm. They've got some incredible colors, and they're in the gulp material. And you know, Terry, the gulp stuff is has so much scent dispersion that I'm able to go to these docks and actually catch fish that other guys pass by, because these fish, let's face it, when there's that much pressure on a lake, they get tuned into what's going on. They hear the boats coming, they see the baits, but this gulp stuff, it has so much scent in it that they'll actually be able to smell that. And when you finesse fish around docks, you really take your time. You want to pick apart each little corner of the dock, make 2 or 3 repeated casts to the same spot, because again, with the gulp, it's going to have so much scent dispersion in the water. I really think I'll catch a lot of fish that way.
Well, you talk about that, you know, and I know Berkeley's kind of their hype with this gulp product versus power product. Is power baits are really for power fishing, and the gulp is going to be more finesse. It's going to be something where you're going to leave it, soak it a little bit, maybe try to do that. Or are you going to have that luxury, you know, when you're trying to catch five, you got 8 hours to do it? Are you going to be able to soak it like you want to do that, or is that going to be something you're going to hope you get a couple early bites, or how's that going to work?
You know, my game plan, of course, is going to be try to catch a couple fish early, you know, on a topwater bait or a jerk shed, something early. And what I do, Terry, is I try to focus on shallow flats or even seawalls. The first 30 minutes to 45 minutes in the morning is a real key time. If I can end up with catching a couple key fish in the morning, then I have the rest of the day to build a bag. And, you know, it's all about finesse fishing. It's all about taking your time and fishing slow. You know, I need to be able to, in practice, decide which docks have the brush in them, and those are the docks that I'm going to concentrate on. I'm going to concentrate on the docks that have lots of cover, and I'm going to fish those docks very thoroughly and slow. So, yeah, I'm not going to be a speed fisherman out there running around all over the place trying to fish docks. I'm going to pick 10 or 12 docks that I believe that's good, and I'm going to fish them very thoroughly and slow, because let me tell you something, there's a lot more fish under those docks than you think.
Let's talk about you live in Florida. You know, you're one of those guys that grew up around Clewiston. Now you come up and you fish in central or northern Alabama. You travel all over the country the way it is, but now you've got a lot of local flavor. You know, you got the Matt Herons of the world, some of those guys that are there and know that body of water. Do you think that helps them, or you feel like you're in a better position to do well?
Well, you know, it's always hard whenever you've grown up on a lake to again, they fall into that same trap I do if I've done well on a lake. They want to go back and fish the same docks. They want to go back and fish the same brush piles that they have for 20 years. I don't know where those places are on that lake. I only have a few places that I have a lot of confidence in. So, again, I'm going to spend a lot of my time trying to find new stuff. But, you know, I'm pretty sure Matt's going to do real well on it. You know, he had a little bit of a tough luck on the 2 years ago when he fished the tournament. So I think he learned his lesson on listening to a lot of things, and he's going to focus in on what he needs to do, and he's going to catch some fish, you know. But yeah, there is a lot of locals around that area. And growing up in Florida, you know how many docks are on Lake Okeechobee? Zero. There's not any houses on the lake. You know, my biggest problem lately is being able to make accurate casts under there. It's kind of comical watching me try to skip these baits under there, because the only time I get to skip baits under docks is when I'm at a particular tournament that has docks.
You haven't set up a tank in the garage or anything like that and throw it under a bucket or do any of that at home yet?
Well, you know, Takahiro Amori has a testing pool for his baits. I need to get a testing dock in my yard.
That worked great. Well, you know, you look back at it, and second place is great. You know, they got the NCAA pairings in this tournament. What's your feeling about that? You've had great success with it. Do you like it? Is it something you'd like to see different? Or do you like it with you have the pairings?
You know, it's a different concept, and I think it's unique in its own way, because, you know, it really gives a lot of guys a big opportunity to win the tournament. Because let's face it, when you do cumulative weight for 3 or 4 days, the guy that goes ahead and gets a big lead out there, you never can catch him. And you know, it's kind of a sad feeling knowing that I can't win this tournament because so and so has a 20-pound lead. But with this format starting over and going through different brackets, you know, the guys that make the top 10, they all have an even shot of winning the big money. So I like that.
Well, it's about the decision-making process, it seems, because you have to make that decision on any given day to do something. Maybe you did something, hey, I flipped all day this day, but I got to go out and I got to have 6 or 7 pounds, I know, above what I had yesterday to do well. You got to kind of change your strategy.
Yeah, it's an interesting format. I need to beat 13 guys to take home $500,000. So that's a pretty unique format when you look at it like that. You know, another thing that I do is I'm paying attention to where these guys are fishing out there, especially my competition. Art Berry's the guy that I go against the first couple rounds. And, hey, you better believe I'm going to be watching where he's fishing to kind of get an idea of what he's doing. Because if I see him out there doing some offshore stuff and I can't really put the offshore stuff together, then I might feel like he's not on very good or vice versa. You know, so I want to pay attention. I'm sure Art's going to be paying attention to me as well.
All right, $500,000 this year, but $1 million if you're a ranger owner next year. This is a nice little paycheck, $500,000, but $1 million next year, that's going to be cool.
Isn't it amazing what the sport has grown into in the last few years? I mean, $1 million, and I'm always going to be a ranger owner, so I'm always going to get those ranger bonuses. So, yeah, I cannot wait to have that opportunity to fish for $1 million. It's going to be awesome. And, you know, the great thing is we go to Lake Ouachita. We're going to fish on Lake Ouachita next year in the championship, and that's actually where my mother grew up. You know, Terry, we have a house right there on the lake, an old family house, and my mother used to guide on that lake. So it'd be kind of special to go back there and hopefully win $1 million on a lake that my mother started her fishing career on.
Well, I think your dad's always gotten a lot of credit being a great angler, but your mom is a great angler as well.
She is a tremendous angler, Terry. Let me tell you, she goes every year to the Amazon, and she catches big 20-pound peacocks. And there's not too many people in this world that can go down and fish for a week for peacock bass, and she does it every year. You know, she fished the Bassingall Circuit, and she won the Bassingall Classic. And, you know, my dad never won the Bassmasters Classic, so, hey, you know what? She might even be better than him.
Well, good luck, Scott. You know, it's always great to talk to you, and we wish you the best of luck at the FLW Championship.
Thanks very much, Terry.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.